Hey ho, what do you know? It's time for the Matt Dean Clark Show.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Welcome to Not Good Presents the Weekly Show. Yeah, it's not the main show. Not quite good enough for that. It is just the Not Good Presents Weekly Review. Welcome to it and welcome back to the show that critics are calling Give Up Already. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. We love the positive praise and love that it keeps pouring in. So thank you for that. Today we'll do, it is Monday, April 1st, April Fool's Day at 3:58 p.m. and it's around 40 degrees. So there you go. I don't have any good April Fool's pranks, but I always hope that maybe there'll be some good stories that come out later of April Fool's pranks gone wrong. Those are always the best. that's not good because that can be and that is on brand because it's not good. But that's really not good because, listen, we don't want that. We want good, funny things. Like I've heard of people putting like saran wrap over a toilet seat. So if a guy's using the old toilet in the middle of the night, he'll get a little surprise. It's kind of a bummer, but that's good. That's good fun. Anyways, let's go right into entertainment news. We'll start with some big news. Sister Act 3. I know a lot of people have been wondering, writing in to the show asking, what's the news, the latest and greatest on Sister Act 3? Well, we can tell you. No one's ever asked that of the show. But the thing is I actually was a fan of the first two Sister Act movies. Watched them a lot on VHS as a kid. I don't know why, but I loved them. So Sister Act 2... was one that was always watched. I think it was always on TV too. But Sister Act 3, Whoopi Goldberg said when asked recently, it is still on the way. It's percolating, she said. They have not said, we're over you in this movie. We're still in the process of writing the script. So there you go with that, some Sister Act 3 news. Disney Plus will actually host this threequel, they're calling it. So there you go with that. Mayor of Kingstown, it was just announced that season 3 got a wild new teaser, or actually not announced, it was released. So the popular show is returning to Paramount Plus on June 2nd. So there you go, not too far away. And it's got a new clip of Jeremy Renner's Mike McCluskey as he deals with some new wrinkles in a drug war. So there you go with that. I think we're all pretty, I can only speak for myself, but I am super excited because obviously when Renner got into his accident, what's that, almost 2 years ago? Or a little over a year ago? It was, that was just such sad, crazy news. And I just remember at the time I lived in California and when that news broke and my apartment maintenance manager, he called and was very concerned. He's a big, Jeremy Renner fan. And so he thought that I would have the hot scoop on whether or not he's okay or not. And I wouldn't know that. This is right when it happened too. And he was like, is he going to be okay? And I was like, I mean, I have no idea. I think he just thought if you work in reality TV that you also know all of the other facets of TV. And you know all the news. And I just said, yeah, I don't know. I was like, I think that. And then he interrupted me. He was like, but Matt, will he act again? He was very concerned about that. Well, now, you know, I was able to tell him recently that, yeah, he's going to act again. And it's coming up soon. And now there's a trailer. There's proof. So I can actually send him that clip. So this is good. I'm thinking it out loud. This is great news for everybody. So there you go. You know, some people are kind of not sold on this show, but I thought it's great. It's gritty. He's awesome in it. I think all the performances are really good. You see a lot of reoccurring and familiar faces from Yellowstone. It makes sense since it's a Taylor Sheridan vehicle. But yeah, really good. I'm definitely looking forward to it. So there you go. Mayor of Kingstown Season 3 out on Paramount Plus June 2nd.
when that call it comes for us, we're through. When that call,
it is Tuesday, April 2nd. It is 7:38 in the p.m. and it is weather-wise, we are rocking.
It's such a cuckoo day.
We're rocking a steady 38 degrees. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We got Brett.
Welcome.
We got Clark.
Hi.
Hey. So, gentlemen, let's start real quick. This is the pre-show, so we're just doing a couple quick news stories here.
Yeah.
One that you guys brought to my attention this morning, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Which one of us? Me?
This one is from Clark. Ooh. Brett just broke the microphone stand.
He lifted it out of its spot.
So strong.
You are so strong. Have you been working out?
Yeah, a little bit.
Nice. What have you been doing? What's
working
your...
Working out one arm specifically.
Yeah, working on my alphabets.
Clark sent a news story over about Valley Fair. What do you got for us? What happened? What was the big reveal?
This is local news.
Local news.
Oh, we're covering local news now.
Heck yeah, we are.
Oh, wow.
Have we not?
Tack it on.
We always cover local news.
Do we?
Yeah.
Anyway, Valley Fair is going out of business.
No!
So for those that aren't, from Minnesota, Valley Fair is our amusement park.
Yeah.
And they used to have this thing called Valley Scare. So around Halloween time, they turned it into kind of like a Halloween
trick-or-treating.
Yeah, trick-or-treating. Yeah. Kind of like a Halloween horror night.
Kid-friendly. Talking about what they turned. They scaled it back into a kid-friendly trick-or-treating thing.
But before that, it was like still a smaller version of Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
Where they...
A lot of chains, a lot of leather.
Yep. And some people would get scared, but it's like... I guess maybe that's why they...
Isn't that the point? It's called Valley Scare.
Well, right. I guess it was too intense because they even had these little medallions you could wear.
It was intense?
Yeah. For some people. Yeah, it was intense.
You'd think it would be just in the amusement park.
Yeah, yeah. It's one big tent.
That was a Blark joke.
That was. Blark.com. Blark.com for more of that humor.
You could see that was an alley-oop. That was Scottie Pippen to Michael Jordan. Hey-o!
Those are the only two basketball players Brett knows.
So Valley Scare. Yeah, so you could wear these little medallions that would... have the people at the park. They
say, don't scare me?
Yeah, they can't scare you. It does say that, essentially, because it just lights up and they say, oh yeah, I can't scare these
people. You feel like a nerd having one of those?
Well,
like, don't scare me.
Listen, sometimes
that's what if you have like heart problems.
I want one that, yeah, says I shit easily.
Don't scare me.
Essentially what it says. Yeah. So they scaled back. I don't know if it was because it was so scary, but for whatever reason,
maybe they were just having trouble finding...
They scared back.
finding people to... be the actors or whatever.
Yeah, maybe. But so then they canceled Valley Scare, right? Last year.
Well, they replaced it
with
a toned down kid-friendly trick-or-treat thing.
Okay. And then what did they...
I don't know. This is like all you, dude. I've never even been to Valley Scare. I went to Hollywood Horror Nights once with you, and we didn't get there till like midnight.
But the thing that you sent to me, which was the...
They're bringing it back.
There you go. Yes, they're bringing it back, which is good. That's good news.
Yeah,
I enjoyed Valley Scare, so I'm excited that it's going to be back.
You going to go?
I will go, yeah. We should all go. We should do a pod there.
We should.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't gone to Valley Fair in forever. I just want to go to Valley Fair to go on the rides.
Yeah. Well, and you still can
like
do that,
Excalibur,
too.
And I'll be praying to baby Jesus that it doesn't break down and fly off the rails.
That's part of the excitement.
It is.
Nearly dying.
Yeah. Well, and you do. You have... this actually is a perfect segue. You have a chance, certain odds, that you probably could die in certain rides, which brings me to this. This is a horrible segue, but yeah. I'm going to shoot for it anyways.
There was a 45-car pileup. 30 people died today.
But when you think of odds, you think of flipping a coin. It's like you're metaphorically flipping a coin.
Right.
Now, when you do that, how many times do you think it's going to go heads or tails? What do you think the percentage is of that?
You shouldn't be.
51% tails.
Or do you think it's 50-50?
No.
Because you got a heads or tails chance.
There's scientific proof.
Well, those are the odds, but I mean, you could theoretically flip a coin like 10 times and get multiple results.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because a team of researchers analyzed the results of 350,757 coin tosses to determine whether the results are truly 50-50 or not.
And wow.
They found...
How many coin tosses? Say it again.
350,757. coin tosses.
Weird number to
in
end
a
on.
Row.
Yeah, in a row.
Yeah,
by the same person.
There's a marathon.
Their one, thumb must be tired.
One person. Yeah, they have it just down to the nubs.
It's a robot. Yeah,
it's all blood. Oh, yeah, it's an AI.
It goes down to nubs. Yeah, it's AI robot. It's all a computer. Yeah. It doesn't even matter.
Well, aren't all robots AI?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, robots aren't.
You could do a mechanical. Was Terminator?
I mean, AI just means artificial intelligence.
Terminator would be AI, wouldn't it? But they found fair coins are slightly more likely to land the same way they started. So that means if you start on a heads, it's more likely to land on a heads. A researcher at the University of Amsterdam said, well, they don't know. Amsterdam, right? They're just smoking drugs.
What
day,
kind
right?
of coin are they flipping? Are they flipping a quarter?
Well, that does make all the difference, doesn't it? No, they don't say the type of coin. But they said that these guys led a team that analyzed the results of that many coin flips from 48 people. So it was 48 different people. And they used 46 different currencies. So they did actually.
Because some might be weighted differently.
That's true.
Why didn't they use 48? If there's 48 different people. Did they have two the same? They have two from Amsterdam?
Maybe.
And they were supplying the drugs?
That's a great question. Yeah. That's a great question.
They were the mules.
And the bicycles.
And yeah. they said, we found overwhelming evidence for a same side bias predicted by these guys and their colleagues in 2007. If you start heads up, the coin's more likely to land heads up and vice versa. This guy wrote in his results on social media. He said his team found that coins flipped into the air and caught in the hand had a 50.8% chance of landing on the same side they started from.
Okay.
So isn't that still 50-50?
Little 50.8.
That's
true.
It's close enough. There's a margin of error, I think, just from chance.
Right. The study titled Fair Coins Tend to Land on the Same Side Where They Started, evidence from 350,757 flips.
Now, what if they flipped peanut butter toast?
There you go. That's the study I want to see.
I think it always falls peanut butter side down because it's weighted on that one side.
Oh, there's only one way we can find that out.
Yeah.
That's the next taste
test. That's our show, everyone.
Yeah. It's peanut butter time.
What about that in the ground? They didn't flip it to the ground. They just always landed.
Nope, just their hands.
Okay, so if you're an NFL player in the coin toss, then you can't use that information because they flip it onto the ground.
Onto the ground.
That's a great point.
It's a flat surface.
It's null and void then.
But tails never fails.
But so they did 350,757 flips, and then that's how they found this out. And then they also added, we have wasted our entire careers and lives looking at this point. Bullshit. Okay. All right. Well, there you go with that. And also, real quick news, we wanted to go to the city of Kyle, Texas, because of the name Kyle. They announced
where Kyle X Y lives.
Yeah. It's making
deep cuts.
Who we were chatting about, pre-show.
Yeah, before the mics got hot.
Yeah.
But the city of Kyle, Texas announced it is making another attempt at breaking the Guinness World Record for the largest same name gathering with an official gathering of
Kyles. I bet I can guess who it is.
Who what is?
Fred's.
No, this is Kyle. This is Kyle, Texas.
Damn.
Yeah, you were close. The city, which managed to attract 1,490 people named Kyle to the event last year, said the official gathering of the Kyle's record attempt will take place at 1 p.m. on May 18th. So we tell you that as a public service.
Wow.
If your name's Kyle,
get down there.
Get there. Yeah.
What if you're named Kylie?
That works. I think that's close enough.
I don't think so.
No? All right.
What if it's spelled the same, but it's pronounced Kylie?
That works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a little accent on the E.
There's probably a lot of Texans who do that. This here looks like Kylie.
So all these Kyles.
Texas is Australia?
Yeah, that was a weird Texas accent.
That's perfect. Spot on.
But so 1,490 people, and afterwards they will break the record for most amount of punches into drywall. Because that's a Kyle thing. You don't remember that meme? Yeah, it was all Kyle, people named Kyle and Chad punch drywall.
We'll put it in the notes. We'll put it in the show notes.
We'll put it in the show notes.
We'll put the meme in the show notes. We'll get the Giphy.
We break down all of our individual jokes. Yeah. It'll be a lot of mine.
Well, just yours. Yeah.
The current record for the largest same name gathering was set in July 2017 when 2,325 people named Ivan attended an official record attempt in Bosnia.
So I was going to say it somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Yeah. Now, the city.
They're all there. They all just probably live there.
Well, maybe so. The city of Austin, Texas hosted another attempt at the record in February, and we reported this, or announced that they were going to do it.
This is news. Yeah. You can say reported.
This is new. Well, I'm saying that it was about to happen. That's when we reported it. Had happened.
Okay.
And this was the Ryan Rodeo. I don't know if you guys remember, but they attempted to take the title by bringing together people named Ryan. And we have a Ryan Shaw that's on the show. Ryan Shaw, horror movie expert. And the attempt fell short of taking the title, so they didn't get it.
Wow.
Proving once again that most Ryans suck.
Yes.
Is Ryan on?
No, I know. Ryan, you fucked it up. Ryan should have been there.
Let's see if Ryan, responds. Ryan should have been there. But no, that's not true. We love Ryan, and we love all Ryans. So there you go. And we love Orion, the film company. All right, I think we're good. Should we do the real show? All right, welcome back to the podcast. It is Wednesday, April 3rd, and it is 2:30 in the afternoon, and it is 35-ish degrees. Not too bad, but going, getting warmer, so that's good. Nothing wrong with that. Today, let's do a little advice. We'll do advice for this week. We'll start with somebody, a parent. Actually, a set of parents want to cushion their son's breakup with his girlfriend. So they're big fans of their son's girlfriend. And these parents see the breakup coming between the two. So between their teen and his girlfriend. And they want to know, should they intervene to spare the girl's feelings? Kind of soften the emotional hit that could happen. Yes, absolutely. You should warn her. Your son would totally approve. It's good to meddle with people's, emotional being. I think that's great. People's feelings should be protected all the time. This is a part of life, unfortunately, but things like that happen. And I think if you always try to do things with, little kid gloves, that's not good for the actual learning and living experience of life. Sometimes you have to have the ups and downs, and the downs to really appreciate the ups. So there you go with that. I had actually, I might have told this on the podcast before, but I had an acquaintance that I knew who he always wanted to ask this girl out. And everyone's like, well, just go ask her out. Just do it. What's the harm in doing it? And unfortunately, there was harm in doing it because when he did it, she says yes, and then they go on some dates or whatever, and I think they were only dating for like a month or so, and then she comes back and tells him, listen, this was just a prank and a joke that I was doing with my friends, and the joke was on you, and I don't even know if she said I'm sorry, but she just broke it off right there, and that was crazy, and I remember hearing that, and we were all like, whoa, it was like a total real mean girl situation. And we just couldn't believe it. And this guy kind of snapped a little bit, Obviously, rightfully so. But I would like to think, I haven't talked to him in a while, but like that, I'm not endorsing this behavior, but that, sometimes these crazy things happen and then it's, it could be a good learning experience. So there you go. Another person wants to know, we're setting up friends on a double date and they're nervous. They want to know if there's any advice to be given to this situation. You should be nervous. What you have done is a terrible thing. These blind dates, they can be right. They can be awful. Paige and I, we were set up through mutual friends as well on essentially what was a blind date and set up through our mutual love of Taco Bell. It ended up working really well. But I've heard so many horror stories of where it just, it was super awkward. And, some people were like, oh, I think this person would be right for this other person, but they totally misjudge it and they couldn't be further off course. So I don't know. I think definitely if you go into it, kind of know that, well, at the very least, they'll probably be really good friends out of this situation. And if you got that, then I think, yeah, go for it for sure. Next person wants to know how to resist the burn of a caustic sense of humor. So a family tradition of merciless teasing isn't playing well with friends. Can this person break a sarcasm habit? So I'm a huge fan of sarcasm. This is a tough one for me because I love being sarcastic, but I can tell when it doesn't land, when a sarcastic joke doesn't land, or when I've gone a little bit too far. You can just see it in people's faces, you know what I mean? And I've done the same thing too, when someone will shoot a, you know, joke or sarcastic quip at me, and I'm like, huh, that one's funny. I can see the humor in it, but it really hurts. yeah, so I think it's one of those things where I've looked at that a lot because I tend to think what I think is kind of quickly of jokes, and then I'll just say it, and I won't even like kind of think about like, oh yeah, maybe what would be the repercussions of saying this, you know? But I've been doing that a lot, you know, and it's kind of retraining your brain, and it feels better now when I know that like, oh, I've said something that's good, but in my head, I've got like three different responses that would not be the greatest or that would make me laugh internally. You know what I mean? And it's like, I feel better about having the self-control now. So it's kind of, you know, it is, like I was saying, it's a different way to train your brain. Train your brain. All right, it is Thursday, April 4th. It is 3:24 in the p.m. And weather-wise, let's see if I can pull up my weather app. 51 degrees. Oh, I gotta get out for a walk. It is nice out there. Let's do entertainment news today. We'll start with, so Maggie Gyllenhaal has a new movie that she's directing. It's a Mary Shelley adaptation called The Bride. And they released today some photos, some first look images, if you will, of Frankenstein's monster, which is, you know, it's always the part of Frankenstein that steals the show. And, you know, a lot of people, when they hear Frankenstein, they think of the monster itself. But it's actually Frankenstein's the doctor that creates the monster. Did I bore everyone? Is everyone fully in bored to tears? Okay, great. That's great. But so they released a picture of, apologies for the police sirens in the background here. Images of Christian Bale as Frankenstein's monster. And people are saying it looks a lot like Joker in the DC movies, and people are not liking it. So they're kind of hating on that. That's a lot of the stuff that I'm reading, that people are kind of turned off on the image of it. I think it looks different, but I'm not totally like, you know, I'm not writing it off yet, is what I'm saying. It could still be really great and probably will be. And also this article that talks about that, and the pictures that came out today talks about the recent Frankenstein monsters that have come out, including Cole Sprouse from Lisa Frankenstein, which is actually really good and is a good monster and a good kind of interpretation of that. I liked that movie. Of course, Jacob Elordi, who's going to be the iconic creature as well for Guillermo del Toro, apparently. So that's cool. So I'm in for that. We'll see what happens there. From there, other movie news, let's talk Matrix. So the Matrix is going to get another sequel. So that's cool. But the Wachowskis are not going to be directing it. I don't know if they're going to be, writing it. But as of now, it looks like they're not going to be directing it. And according to The Hollywood Reporter, it's going to be directed by Drew Goddard, who has done a bunch of stuff, but, you know, I think one of the ones that definitely pops out for a lot of people is The Cabin in the Woods. People love that movie. I don't know if I love that movie. I remember being kind of very underwhelmed when I saw it. Not to be like snarky and I don't know. I think I did. I might have to revisit that movie because it's some people's like all-time favorite movie. They love it. Drew Goddard also wrote Cloverfield and The Martian, so good writer. And so Goddard said, "It's not hyperbole to say that the Matrix films changed both cinema and my life. Lana and Lily Wachowski, their exquisite artistry inspires me on a daily basis, and I am beyond grateful for the chance to tell stories in their world." So there you go. So that's, we got some more Matrix to look forward to in the future. I'm stoked. I love the Matrix movies, and I loved the new one too. And so, yeah, I'm down to see wherever this story goes. All right, everybody, welcome back to the podcast. It is Friday. Happy Friday. You guys made it through another week. Congratulations. It is, like I said, Friday, April 5th, and it is 10:53 in the a.m. And weather-wise, it's 46 degrees, so looking pretty good. High of 55 today, so there you go. If you're curious about Minnesota weather, now you know, and the more you know. All right, let's do some movies and TV today. Last night, I watched the first two episodes of Sugar. That's the brand new, they're calling it a neo-noir with Colin Farrell. And that's on Apple TV Plus, which is quietly home to some good shows. You know what I mean? I feel like I, every time I hop on there and kind of look around, I'm pleasantly surprised. So it looks like there's some cool stuff coming down the pipe, too. I think I saw a Fraggle Rock thing. So that would be sweet. So there you go. There's some good nostalgia from my childhood, which, you know, is a lot of what we're talking about on TVs and movies today. But the first two episodes of Sugar, I liked. I didn't love, but I'm still going to give it, you know, we like to rate things a good or not good on the show. I'm going to go good, but I think there's a long way to go. And but I like where they're kind of tightening the screws right now and where they're heading. So I think it's going to be a pretty decent show. So there you go with that. And then X-Men 97. I've been slowly working my way through this show and maybe just trying to savor it. Maybe that's why. But been watching the old episodes of the show, still loving that. And then X-Men 97, I finished episode 2 last night. And what an amazing cliffhanger. I loved it. It's so good. So I'm going to have to probably finish the other two that will catch me up on the series, so maybe I'll have to do that this weekend. But there you go, and that's total nostalgia because I loved it. I remember getting off the school bus and going home, making a Pop-Tart, and watching X-Men. You know, amongst other shows too during that time slot. But I remember, yeah, because I'd be home like an hour early before my parents, and then they'd get home, and then we'd, you know, make dinner, all that kind of stuff. But I'd switch from channel to channel each day. And so, you know, one day I'm watching Saved by the Bell, one day X-Men, one day Batman animated series. Like, that was my childhood. So good. Love it. And also one of the things that I watched a lot growing up was the original Happy Gilmore. I watched that video cassette tape all the time. And so it was always kind of hinted at and announced over the, you know, last week and a half or so that they're working on a second Happy Gilmore. And so Adam Sandler was on Dan Patrick's radio show. And so he talked about, he confirmed that they're working on it. And he said, "Me and Tim Hurley are diligently trying to make a good reason for everyone to come and watch and have a good time. Netflix is excited about it." So there you go. So it's on Netflix. That's cool. "Netflix is excited about it. So we're working on it. We've got some good ideas. You're definitely in it," he says to Patrick. So there you go. Dan Patrick is going to be in that movie as well on Netflix. Happy Gilmore 2. Also, really cool news. Tulsa King is in production, which I hadn't heard anything. So I didn't know, oh, is that just a one and done? I thought it was a pretty popular TV series. And apparently it was enough to get a season 2, which is awesome. And then big news is that they're rolling and that people have seen Frank Grillo in the cast, which is awesome. He's such a good actor. And I love him in the Purge movies, but also in Marvel, he's Crossbones. So there you go with that. So that's some news about Frank Grillo. Apparently he will be joining the cast as a series regular, and his
character is a mobster from Kansas City who takes interest in the operations of Tulsa. So there you go. I'm sure conflict will arise between him and Stallone, and that should be pretty fun to see. Well, I know what else is fun to see, and that's that the show is ending right now. Not for good, just this episode. People are like, yay, oh. No, but thank you for, my voice really squeaked right there. Thank you. Thank you for listening to another week of Not Good Presents, the weekly review. Check out the main show, too. That'll be coming up in a few hours, but thank you for checking out this one, weekly review. We don't do it every week, but when we do, so we give you two episodes. So listen, not a bad deal for free. So there you go with that. Reach out to notgoodwithmatt@gmail.com, notgoodwithmatt@gmail.com. Again, have a great Friday. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I love you.